Good morning. And it's a great joy to be with all of you and to bring you God's Word today. Let us look to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your sweet presence here with us. Help us to hear and to receive your Word for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Continuing with our sermon series from the book of Acts, let me begin with a brief recap. Paul and Barnabas return to Antioch after a very successful missionary journey to Cyprus and Asia Minor, where many Gentiles believed in Jesus and were saved. In Antioch, they had a serious disagreement with Jews who had come from Judea and who were insisting that Gentile converts must be circumcised in order to be saved. They are called the Judaizers. To settle the dispute, the Antioch church sent Paul and Barnabas to Jerusalem to discuss the issue with the apostles and the church leaders, the church elders. I'm mindful of the fact that God's work will be opposed by the enemy. Paul and Barnabas face opposition from the outside in the many cities they visited during their missionary journey. And now back in Antioch, they face opposition from within. Reverend Chris mentioned last week that circumcision was the sign of God's covenant with Abraham. However, the Judaizers took it further by making it a condition for salvation. Rev. Chris also took us through some of the points raised by both parties and highlighted the reasons why salvation was clearly by the grace of God and not by works of the law. The decision of the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem, and that is the Jerusalem Council, is of great significance as the dispute could potentially split the church and hinder the advancement of the gospel, especially to the Gentiles. Conflict is inevitable. We all know that. But is it necessarily bad? The manner in which the Jerusalem Council resolved the conflict and the way in which they communicated their decision to the Gentile Christians had a very positive outcome in that it encouraged and strengthened the Gentile Christians in Antioch. The title of today's sermon is Encouraged and Strengthened, and I'll be preaching from Acts chapter 15, verses 22 to 35. My sermon text focuses on the communication of the council's decision to the Gentile Christians. But before we get into that, let me quickly outline how the council resolved the conflict and came to its decision. I think we can learn some lessons from that. I'll be using the letter R for resolving. The first R is robust debate. In any conflict situation, it is important to give both parties an equal opportunity to present their perspectives on the issue and to hold off making premature judgments. The second R is to recognize where God is at work. God sent Peter to preach the gospel to Cornelius and his household, and God poured out his Holy Spirit on them. When they believed, God also did signs and wonders through Paul and Barnabas among the Gentiles during their missionary journey. God was clearly at work among the Gentiles, even though they were not circumcised. The third R is referencing Scripture. After the robust debate, recognizing where God is at work through the testimonies of Peter and Paul, James, the leader of the Jerusalem church provided the scriptural basis for Peter's position that Gentiles are not required to be circumcised. The fourth R is regard for the concerns of both parties. James's conclusion took into account the concerns of both parties. He affirmed that Gentile converts were not required to be circumcised nor to obey the Mosaic law. However, to address the concerns of the Jews, Gentile believers should abstain from pagan practices that related to food and to sexual immorality. These practices were offensive to the Jews and would inhibit Jews and Gentiles from sharing common meals and from having close fellowship. In today's text, we learn that the council communicated their decision to the Gentile Christians via an official letter that was personally delivered by two leading members of the Jerusalem church. When the letter was read to the Gentile Christians in Antioch, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. The contents of the letter reveal another R in the decision-making process. The fifth and probably the most important R is reliance on the Holy Spirit. Verse 28, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you, the Gentile converts, no greater burden than these requirements. These requirements being the four abstinences I mentioned earlier. The Holy Spirit was clearly actively involved in the decision-making process. So we have five R's in the decision-making process. Can you remember what it is? It's robust debate, hearing from both sides, recognizing where God is at work among the Gentiles. Referencing Scripture, it's important that we go back to the Scripture to see what God has to say. Regard for the concerns of both parties and reliance on the Holy Spirit. My focus today is on how the council's decision was communicated to the Gentile Christians. The Holy Spirit who led them in the decision-making process was, I believe, also actively involved in how the decision was communicated to the Gentile Christians. Someone said that effective communication can be a strategy for conflict resolution. If we learn how to communicate and talk to one another effectively, then, you know, it would help us to resolve our conflicts. We heard the five R's. I now come to the three C's. R and C are the first alphabets in the words resolving conflict. That's to help us to remember. So these three C's have to do with how the Jerusalem Council communicated their decision to the Gentile Christians. The first C is cognizance of feelings. Whose feelings? It's the feelings of the Gentile Christians, the apostles and the elders who were Jews and who were regarded as the spiritual authority of the early church, were sensitive to the feelings of the Gentile Christians. By Judaizers insisting on circumcision as a condition for salvation, the Gentiles could have felt inferior to their Jewish brothers. The council wrote the letter referring to themselves as the brothers, the apostles and the elders, to the brothers who are the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. They were treating the Gentile Christians as equal members of the church and as no lesser than the Jews. The apostles and the elders also took cognizance of their Gentile brothers' anxiety. Having heard that the Judaizers had troubled you, the Gentile Christians, with words, unsettling your minds, they empathize with their Gentile brothers, and they assured them that the Judaizers were not sent by them and were not authorized by them. So the first C is cognizance of feelings. The second C is commitment to unity. The council wanted the Gentile Christians to know that the decision they arrived at was guided by the Holy Spirit and had the full agreement of the entire church in Jerusalem. It was a unanimous decision. Verse 25, it has seemed good to us, having come to one accord. And verse 28, for it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements. The requirements being abstinence from the four pagan practices relating to food and to sexual immorality, which would hinder Jews and Gentiles from having close fellowship. The second C is commitment to unity. The third C is coming in person. When we write a text, even if we have carefully drafted it, it can be misunderstood. So the Jerusalem Council sent two of their leading members, Judas and Silas, who were prophets, to accompany Paul and Barnabas to Antioch to personally deliver the letter and to confirm its contents. These two prophets not only came in person to deliver the letter, but they came alongside their Gentile brothers to encourage and to strengthen them with many words. We do not all have a prophetic ministry or a prophetic office, but every believer can function prophetically. Since the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the church, we can all receive divinely inspired messages. The Apostle Paul believed that any believer can be inspired by the Holy Spirit to prophesy. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 31, Paul said, "For you can all prophesy one by one," and he was addressing the church, "so that all may learn and be exhorted." At this basic level of prophecy, it is more inspirational than revelatory. At the higher levels of prophetic gifting and the prophetic office, which are divinely appointed by God, the prophecies are more revelatory. They include foretelling future events, giving direction or correction to the church. So when we function at the very basic level of the simple prophetic, we use our own words, our own human words, to speak divinely inspired messages for the purpose, really, of building up, of encouraging or comforting others. I do not have a prophetic gift or a prophetic office, but on one occasion, I receive what I believe to be divinely inspired message. This happened some years ago. It was my day off, a Monday, and the Lord called me into a time of worship. And during that time, I was led to read Isaiah chapter 45. I was very drawn to verse 22. "Turn to me and be saved." The very next day, I read Isaiah 46 and was arrested by verse 13. "My salvation will not delay." So on Monday, I read, "Turn to me and be saved, and on Tuesday, my salvation will not delay." So I asked the Lord, "Lord, whose salvation it is that will not delay?" And I felt impressed that these words were meant for my friend's brother. He was suffering from cancer, and he had not yet accepted Christ, though my friend tried many times to reach out to him over a period of almost 2 years. To cut the long story short, through a series of divine orchestrations, a former medium who had become a Christian and then a missionary to the Philippines was back home in Singapore to visit his sick mother. He was a complete stranger to me, but God arranged it such that he came to the hospital to share his conversion testimony with my friend's brother in Hokkien. And my friend's brother readily and immediately accepted Christ. I was overjoyed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And my friend was so amazed and so encouraged by the way God led me to those scriptures. And then he orchestrated the events which resulted in my friend's brother's salvation. I have also been very blessed and been at the receiving end of prophetic words which have encouraged and strengthened me. When I had self-doubts, when I was experiencing ill health, or when I was uncertain about God's future plans for me. Applying the 3 C's from today's text in our communication with one another, let us firstly be cognizant of the feelings of the person we are talking to and ask ourselves, how can I help in addressing any anxieties or concerns he or she may have? Secondly, be committed to unity when we communicate. Can we find common ground instead of accentuating differences? Can we increase collaborations instead of looking to our own interests? Can we make concessions wherever possible for the sake of unity? And thirdly, be personal. Come in person. Wherever possible, can we communicate in person with one another? Can we come alongside a brother or a sister in Christ and communicate in such a way as to encourage and to strengthen? Gives us a divinely inspired message. Will we speak forth what he says in love to build up and to encourage one another? We may not be in a conflict situation, but we can certainly use the 3 C's to communicate better with one another. Recently, the youths in our church exemplified the 3 C's for me. They came in person to all our services on the last weekend of June with a genuine desire to build bridges, to reach out to us, the older ones. They came with words of encouragement on notes they had written, and they asked for us to respond by writing an encouragement to them in return. I was very curious, so I asked, whose idea was it? You know, it was not an idea that came from the top, not from Reverend Daniel, not from Joshua Cole, but it was their own idea. So thank you, youths, for encouraging us and for making us feel valued. A week later, on the 6th and the 7th of July, the head of the youth ministry, Joshua Cole, preached at all our services. And he asked if we would come alongside our youths to take a keen interest in their spiritual journey, to provide them with spiritual support by praying for them and with them, by sharing our testimonies, and by helping them recognize the presence of God in their lives. May we prayerfully respond to this call by our brother Joshua Koh, and following the example of our youths, may we also come alongside one another to encourage and to strengthen one another in our spiritual journey. So, church, will we apply the three C's in our communication with one another? Will we put in the effort to build a church culture of coming alongside one another to encourage and to strengthen one another? I leave us with those questions. Let us now bow for a word of prayer, and let's just keep a moment's silence and allow the Holy Spirit to just deepen and to plant God's word in our hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, may we hold in our hearts all that you have said to us today. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to communicate with one another differently, that we may encourage and strengthen one another and be transformed by your grace to be all that you desire your church to be. We ask this in Jesus' most precious and powerful name. Amen.